Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. I would like to welcome everyone in the listening family. This is your host for this evening, Jamal Brown, and you are listening to the Gist of Freedom Radio. Once again, we have a dynamic, intelligent, upstanding, motivating individual on the line with us. I'm speaking none other than Mr. Lynn Saputo. Mr. Lynn Saputo is an author. He is certified in internal medicine and now does what he likes to call integral health medicine. We'll be talking with him this evening, finding out more about what exactly integral health medicine is. I have my suspicions. You all know that I am an avid researcher of history, and one great individual in history is none other than Imhotep. Imhotep is recognized largely as the world's first doctor, but trust and believe that Imhotep did not approach his patients with little white and pink and yellow pills, didn't approach them with, syringes and take two of these and call me in the morning. No, he approached them with drums and prisms to shine into their eyes because he understood that all organs have a certain wavelength in which they vibrate. If you can tap into those organs in a particular way, you can, in fact, heal the body. But you all don't want to hear from me. You want to hear from the professional on this topic. Mr. Saputo, are you there with us?
I'm here. It's nice to talk with you, Jamal.
Great, great, great. Let's just jump right on into it. 30 minutes sounds like a lot of time, but when we get into the good topics and the good information, that 30 minutes flies by quickly. So let's start off with the first question I always like to ask. Please tell us, who is Dr. Saputo?
Okay, I'm a guy that's been in practice for about 40 years, board certified in internal medicine, have over the last 20 years really focused my attention on a new style of healthcare because I'm so disappointed with how healthcare is practiced in this country. It's so backwards and so much more primitive than the indigenous healing systems of the past that it's really upsetting. We've gotten into a system where we focus on too much on the cost of things, and we need to be looking at trying to provide service rather than return on investment. So I'm somebody whose life's purpose is now committed to moving in a new direction where we actually have real health care that's based on wellness and prevention rather than a system that is financially oriented to try and treat disease once it occurs. So I started a nonprofit educational foundation called the Health Medicine Forum back in 1994. With the idea of trying to define what health medicine is and to set up a practice that we could take into clinical medicine. And it's basically built on four principles: integrative approaches, where we look at all disciplines that can add any kind of help for our patients. Second, we look at the whole person, so we do holistic medicine. We look at body, mind, emotion, and spirit as one thing. Third, we look at patient-centered or person-centered care, where we try to take into account what the person wants rather than what we can do. And fourth, do prevention. We have come up with a system where we use healing circles as our approach in complicated cases, where we bring five or six or seven healthcare practitioners together with a patient at the same time for 2 hours. We do this on Friday afternoons. We never charge a penny for it. It's always free. And we do two things. We listen, we care. And then we use our expertise to try and support the patient's return to wholeness. So we're looking at a new kind of medicine that we have branded called health medicine. It's available on our website called drsaputo.com. That's S-A-P-U-T-O.com, where you will see a combination of 1,500 to 2,000 audio and video pieces that are describing this style of practice and a system that will help people to understand what their disease is caused by and how to deal with it rather than just suppress symptoms. So that's a start on it, Jamal. I hope that gives you an idea of who I am and what I do.
Fantastic, fantastic. And let me ask a very elementary school or elementary style question here first so we can ease our way onto the hard stuff. Healthcare, should it be our responsibility or should it be our government's responsibility to tell us what to do and help us live optimally?
Well, we've got to take responsibility for our own healthcare. There's no question about that. It's personal responsibility that is about how you manage your life. I mean, it's about the style in which you live your life. That's why we call it lifestyle medicine. So what you eat, and that you're in charge of that. How much sleep you get, whether or not you get enough exercise, you reduce your stress levels, you weigh what you should, and you have a meaningful purpose in your life. That's your responsibility. When things go wrong, everybody deserves to be taken care of. That's the government's responsibility. And that should be done, in my opinion, as a universal system or a single-payer system as opposed to what we have today, which is a business. And it's not about taking care of people. It's about return on investment for investors.
Certainly, certainly. I appreciate that. Let's stay personal here for a moment. How tell us about your story and your wife and how you always got involved in holistic medicine.
Okay. It was about 25 or 30 years ago. I was a mainstream internist at a large hospital practice. I was in the best internal medicine group and just sure that I knew everything that I needed to know to be able to make people feel better. And some of that was true until my wife got sick with a life-threatening illness called primary anaphylaxis. And what that means is she was having severe recurrent reactions that were allergic, and we didn't know why, and they were so severe that we had to administer adrenaline and sometimes do even more to make sure that she would survive the episode.
Mm.
When Western medicine couldn't solve this problem and found nothing wrong with her and said, bad luck, you're going to need to be on steroids and some other drugs the rest of your life, we did that only to find out that when you're on things like prednisone, these steroids, that it caused major problems. And she was starting to suffer from the side effects of the steroids to the same extent that she was suffering from her primary disease.
Wow.
So as luck would have it, I came across somebody who did some complementary and alternative approaches to this particular issue. It was a fellow named Russell Jaffe, who does a special test called the ELISA Act test that's approved by the government, by the way, but none of Western medicine really at that time took any notice of. We found out what she was allergic to that we could not find out doing all the things that you would do at a major medical center, took her off those things, and eventually put her on a system that would reduce inflammation in the body. And she, within about 3 months, really went off all of her medicines and to this day remains healthy.
That is
so
fantastic.
So it opened my eyes, okay? There is something more than what we do in the mainstream of medicine that we need to pay attention to. The arrogance that we have, the naive arrogance we have in our training, is mind-boggling because it's like Western medicine's the whole story. We don't want to hear about anything else, and we're going to do that until the day we die. And that's the way our training is. And what we don't realize is there are many, many disciplines out there that do a much better job and a much more thorough job at looking at the primary cause of why people get sick. And
right. Let me jump right in here and ask this question. You mentioned something earlier about the mind, body, and spirit being one thing. That is a great break from what Western medicine tells us. You know, we sort of look at those things. You go to this doctor for your body, you go to this doctor for your mind, you go to the church for your spirit. Tell us how or why, or just again, give us some insight as to what makes you think or believe or know that the mind, body, and spirit can be effectively treated as one thing.
Well, it's the only way. Here's your proof. Try to take a mind or a body or emotion or a spirit out of somebody. Good luck. It ain't going to happen.
So we know that they're inseparable.
Yeah, they're all inseparable. And what we have is a construct that's theoretical that says, look at these pieces. It's a reductionistic look at holism. There's a concept for you, which is crazy. You've got to look at the whole thing. And that's why we call this style of medicine we do integral health medicine, because it's looking at the whole person, how that whole person fits in with all of society, all of their family, and all of what's in the universe. That's a much bigger picture of what's happening to a human being in any situation, whether well or not well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let us move on now. Let's talk about Japan and the things that are going on there now, some health issues and problems that people are presently facing that you're aware of, and what potentially that they will be facing, and what people can do to sort of stay healthy in that environment where all these toxins and all sorts of crazy stuff is happening in their environment.
Okay. That's a big issue. And the problem is we have learned to not trust our government or any other government to give us information we can believe in. We know that we have a corporate democracy in this country and that we have other kinds of government in other countries that are just as bad, meaning that the power is not in the hands of the people. We don't get the truth from different sources of government. And how do you know how bad something is? We were told at the beginning when this Japan crisis developed that it could be an issue. And they knew darn well at the time that if you shut down a plant for just a couple of hours, or a nuclear plant for a couple of hours, that there's going to be a meltdown. Is that that's just what those things do.
That's and elementary.
It's elementary stuff. And now, yes, there's a meltdown, and they're trying to say, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, maybe it's not that big a deal here in this country, and it may never be an issue in this country, but what happens if? See, there are two if. There is an explosion of some kind and a plume that goes to the stratosphere.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, stuff is coming across in a matter of hours.
Let's just explain stuff to our listening audience who may not be up on it. There's only how many stratospheres are there in the world?
Well, that's right. There's one.
All
right.
There's only one. So we're all connected. We're all affected. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
And so if there's a big plume that goes up into that high level, that if there's a big explosion and it goes up high, the winds will take it over quickly. But if it only is leaking, and the trade winds are what bring it across, it gets dispersed like crazy, and a lot of the damage that we're going to be seeing is going to be very, very small. So and to this point, it's not been an issue. But how much trust do you have in our government or the Japanese government to tell us the truth about what's happening?
Right.
I think you don't have any. So what you've got is an area there that is probably 30 miles around or something like that from where that explosion was, where no human should set foot for more than 10,000 years, because there will be that level of radiation there that it's not suitable for human life. And you're talking about things like radioactive iodine and cesium and plutonium, not things you could sneeze at. These are big deals that cause major problems to your health. And for the people in Japan, they say that there's not a big issue if you get more than, say, 15 or 20 kilometers from the site of Ground Zero. That's baloney. You look at, say, you have people exposed to something called about 100 millisieverts, which is a measure of radioactivity. And that's what they have projected that the people in Tokyo that are 150 or I don't know how many miles away that they are from the Ground Zero, but pretty close to that.
Mm-hmm.
There are 33 million people there. And if you have 100 millisieverts there and one person in 1,000 will develop a cancer from that dose of that dose of radioactivity, you're looking at 33,000 people who will eventually come down with cancer that's going to be a major issue. And that's just if they only get 100 millisieverts. Now, they've probably had a lot more than that since that time because those places are continuing to leak. So Japan is in trouble. It's a major disaster of radioactive leakage of these chemicals or these substances that cause cancer.
Wow, right. Explain to us lay people, I must include myself in this category for this question. What exactly is this radiation, and how is it affecting the bodies of individuals there around the ground zero, and how could it possibly affect those of us here in America if and when, hopefully not, but if and when it gets into the air that travels over here and or the water that travels over here? What exactly is this radiation, and how is it affecting people there, and how could it affect people here?
Okay, when you have a meltdown, you have a lot of different radioactive compounds that come out. One of them is iodine-131, and everybody's talking about that like that's the big deal. And it is a big deal, but it's not the biggest deal. See, iodine is something that's concentrated by the thyroid gland. It's what we use to make thyroid hormone. And so we concentrate that iodine-131 if we're exposed to it, and what that will do over time is put us at a high risk for developing thyroid cancer. But keep in mind that about 80% of the cancers that will develop from that are of a type called papillary carcinoma, which doesn't kill you except in about 3% of the time. So the other 97% who develop that kind of papillary cancer of the thyroid are going to do just fine. So iodine's not the biggest thing, although it's what we focused on, because it's something you can do something about. You can flood the body with saturated solution of potassium iodide or potassium iodide pills, or you can use iodine solutions, and they will be taken up by the thyroid. And if you take it up before you're exposed to the radioactive iodine, it will be already saturated, and then you won't concentrate it so much in the thyroid gland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the half-life of iodine-131, which means the amount of time it takes for half of its radioactivity to disappear, is 8 days. So in a matter of several weeks, if you took a dose, say, of 100 milligrams of SSKI or of an iodine preparation, that would be sufficient to flood the thyroid so that it wouldn't take up the iodine-131. That's that story. Then there's the problem of cesium-137, another issue. This has a half-life that's much longer. There you're looking at something like 30 years. But the amount that we're exposed to is not that much, but it's something that that you can get just from radioactive fumes spreading through the air to local places. It gets into the groundwater, and it gets into the farms that we have. So you'll wind up getting radioactive food, and that's why we're careful about imports from Japan at this time, particularly of milk, because what happens is the cows will eat the stuff that's on the ground that's got cesium on it, and they concentrate it in their milk, and then it comes out in it, and we wind up buying it, and we don't want to be exposed to that kind of radioactivity.
Right.
So those are the major things. Then there's plutonium. Now you're really talking about something that's dangerous.
Before we move on, before we talk about plutonium, real quick, let's talk about X-rays and
uh-huh.
and just how, where do X-rays fit in all of this in terms of radiation, in terms of all that good stuff?
That's much more than you think. You know, there's a professor named John Goffman at UC, University of California in Berkeley, who's now a professor emeritus, who wrote a whole book on this. And he says that the dangers of medical radiation from CT scans and chest X-rays and mammograms and all those neat tests that we do have a heck of a lot to do with our epidemic of cancer, breast cancer particularly, and heart disease. So when you, for example, have accumulated about 100 millisieverts of radiation, which is a fair dose, and I'll give you some relative values here in a minute, that's when we should start taking the iodine preparations so that we saturate our thyroids with that, when we should start thinking about taking antioxidants and being on special diets to protect us. Now, 100 millisieverts is a magic number. If you just do something like a PET scan, you're looking, which is a test that we do to assess for the spread of cancer, there's almost 15 millisieverts there. So if you had a few of those, that would be something. If you did a nuclear scan for heart function, it's about 40 millisieverts. And so you look at something like a CT scan of the brain, it's about 2 millisieverts. So a chest X-ray has a much less amount of that, and what you're looking at is maybe a tenth of a millisievert. Or a mammogram has about 4/10 of a millisievert, but over a small area. So the medical X-rays that we are exposed to, you're right, you're making a great point, is a big deal. And that's
right.
What Dr. Goffman's talking about.
So is the general idea here, let's not get an x-ray unless we absolutely need one?
Absolutely. And if you're going to, do something to protect your body from the effects of the radiation.
How can
and
we
there's a lot we can do.
How can we protect ourselves in the hospital and just in general here with regards to the Japan thing, all that good stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk protection for you for a few moments.
Yeah, absolutely. What you're looking at is what can you do? See, you're in a situation where you're trying to offset what happens when you're exposed to radiation because they cause free radicals, which mm-hmm. are compounds in the body that cause inflammation and disease. We're trying to protect against those. And radiation does that, as do many other things, like exposure to toxins in the environment. But what we can do is we can take antioxidants, which combat the effects of radiation and these toxins that are in the environment, and it does a lot to help us to not be sick from those problems. So taking 6 to 10 grams of vitamin C a day would be something smart. Taking some vitamin D, maybe 5 or 10,000 units of vitamin D, will support cells to keep them from turning cancerous. It protects against DNA damage. You can have a diet that's a detoxification diet that has things like sea vegetables and foods that are high in sulfur. You can do detox baths with baking soda and Epsom salts and vitamin C. Those are all things that will do a lot. I have a little program that's on my website. You go to drsaputo.com, and you go to the home page, and there I have a whole thing on what you do, how to protect yourself and your family from radiation poisoning. And in there, we have information called the Magnificent Seven, which are seven antioxidants or things that will protect you against that kind of damage that you could learn about. It was forwarded to me by my friend, Dr. Russell Jaffe. Those are things you can do. So things like coenzyme Q10 and silymarin, the vitamin C, things like vitamin D, all these things protect and are things that we should be doing
right.
on a regular basis.
Let me jump in right here again and ask.
Sure.
I know last time I went to the doctor, I thought I had a cracked rib. I was playing playing some basketball there, and
sure.
they put that heavy apron over me. Was that protecting me at all? And is there anything
yes.
else that I can do additionally while at the doctor to
what
protect
I tell
myself?
My patients to do when they're going to get any kind of x-ray procedure is to take 3 or 4 grams of vitamin C about a half an hour before the procedure, to take some vitamin E, maybe 700 or 800 units, the meal before they go, and that usually is enough to sustain some kind of protection. I'll give you an idea here. If you take mice or rats and you expose them to lethal doses of radiation, if you just take that little rat and you give them 3 grams of vitamin C, they don't die from the radiation poisoning anymore because
wow.
the vitamin C protects it.
Wow,
so we should be doing
C.
things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard something about a thyroid flap on those aprons. You have any information about thyroid flap or anything of that nature?
Well, that would be good. I mean, you want to try and protect as much of the body as you can whenever you're getting radiation, and you don't want to irradiate the thyroid gland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we were doing that 30, 40, 50 years ago for kids that had acne, and we were radiating their face, and
oh my
we
weren't
gosh. Protecting their thyroid, they're coming down with thyroid cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's a lot of things we learned the hard way. We should be listening to people like Dr. John Goffman, who wrote this wonderful book, okay, that's talking about the medical dangers or the dangers of medical radiation. Good point
Got
you're
it.
Raising there, Jamal.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Madam Mary Curie, what do you know about her role in history?
Well, she is the one who really invented did the work on radiation, and she was working with radium a lot of the time. Her fingers fell off, okay,
oh,
a lot of them, because she was so poisoned by radiation because we didn't know the dangers of radiation from...
Her fingers fell off?
A lot of them just necrosed off. Yeah, they just
My goodness.
Fell off because she was radiation poisoned. So, yeah, she's the one who... Madame Curie, you know, that's where we talked about the Curie as a dose of radiation. So she did a lot to help us.
That is shocking.
That
is shocking. I must say I'm thankful for her sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, that's how we learn, Jamal. That's how we learn. That's how we find out about new things when we don't know what we're doing. And we unfortunately do that all too often in medicine before things have had a good chance to be checked out. That's why our FDA needs to do a lot more work. That's why I wrote that book, A Return to Healing. It talks about the problems with the FDA, the CDC, medical education, medical research, with the insurance industry, and with Big Pharma. And it talks turkey about what's wrong with our healthcare system and what we need to do to change it so we can be protected against these kinds of things. It's more about money than it is about service.
Right. Tell us a bit more about your book and give us that website again, slowly with the spelling there, please.
Okay, it's Dr. Saputo, drsaputo.com. And if you go there, you'll have access to 1,500 to 2,000 audio and video pieces that I made myself that are oriented in a way to give you information about what I've learned about different healthcare problems, and you can take surveys on it if you have diabetes or hypertension or heart disease or whatever you have that will give you specific answers as to what you need to know to manage those illnesses. That's the website, drsaputo.com.
One more time for us, spell out, please.
Yeah, drsaputo.com. Lots of free information on there.
Got it. Tell us more about that book. We're wrapping up. We got about 4 minutes left. I really want to let the people hear more about the things that you have to offer and how, again, we could live better and fuller lives. So, yes, please tell us a little bit more about that book.
Okay. The book is A Return to Healing, and it is about radical healthcare reform in the future of medicine. And it was published just recently, you know, in the last year or two. And it's really about what's going on in healthcare today. What should healthcare reform be about? What is the role of Big Pharma in the insurance industry and medical research and how we are training our doctors? Where's the corruption with the FDA, CDC, and other places in government that is absolutely not protecting us? How will we manage to develop into a corporate democracy where we have so much to learn about giving power back to the people? What do we need to do in healthcare reform to get it right? We can't just be using the system we've got today, because we are killing about 1 million people a year with our medical technologies as side effects. We can't afford $2.5 trillion a year because it's simply unrealistic. And everybody's not well. You're looking at 50% of America having a chronic disease. If you want to learn the answers to those problems and what we need to do to shift our system to more like the integral health medicine model I've talked about, this is the book you need to read.
Let me ask this. I think I already know your answer, but your take quickly. We have about, I don't know, 90 seconds left. Quickly, Obama, the healthcare plan put forth by the president in his administration. Your quick take on that.
My hat's off to President Obama, and I'm an Obama fan, okay? I think he's got his hands tied. But what he has done is he's fixed some of the health disparities in this country, and he's trying to give poor people health care. And these bloody politicians are out there trying to stop it, because what they're trying to do is give more money to rich people in this country and not enough to people who need health care and can't afford it. We also need to shift it like Michelle Obama's doing.
She's out there running and planting gardens in the White House lawn. She's doing the right stuff. Am I right?
These people are great. They should be left alone to practice the things that they know are right. He unfortunately gets put in a bad light a lot of the time because people are putting him in situations that are not appropriate. We got a good man there with a good wife.
That's right. Again, we have about 60 seconds left. Give us some recommendations on some books. Give us, again, how we can find out more about you and your information, and that'll be about the end of our show.
Okay, what you're looking at is the website. This is a monumental effort. I mean, to put together 2,000 separate audio and video pieces myself, okay, because I've got my own radio show here in the Bay Area for about 15 years, and organize them in a way where you can put your disease in there. You have type 2 diabetes or a heart problem or cholesterol problems. You'll take a survey, and what you'll get from that is lots of pieces of information to listen to or to look at that will give you answers to your questions about this problem that you have with your health. So go to the site, take the free wellness assessment program that's on the homepage. If you want more information about the radiation crisis in Japan, the homepage has got a click-on place where you can get a good summary of what the problems are and what you can do about it. And then we have our own radio shows that we do every day.
How can we find the radio show? We
have just about, go to the homepage of drsaputo.com and click on Dr. Saputo Radio, and you'll get an archive of all of our old shows, and you'll get the new show for the day every single day.
Fantastic.
So I'm a busy guy.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Dr. Saputo. That is our time. We truly appreciate you, appreciate your wealth of knowledge and information. We appreciate your steadfastness to healing the mind, body, and soul as we return to what our ancestors, those original people, once did. We thank you once again. We thank the listening audience. We look forward to another fantastic show next Tuesday. Thank you, Dr. Saputo.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye now.